Children don't just disappear like that unless there's something very wrong. Clearly something is very wrong, gravely wrong.
It is time for the prosecutors to step up. Where are the prosecutors bringing murder charges?
And he felt that his life was in danger. If his life was in danger, clearly the children's lives were in danger.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello and welcome to Best Case, Worst Case. This is Jim Clementi, retired FBI profiler, former New York City prosecutor and writer-producer on CBS's Criminal Minds. And with me today is...
Hi, everybody. It's Francie Hakes, former state and federal prosecutor. I'm here in L.A. in our studio. Jim is on assignment in New York, so you all may hear some background noise. So we apologize for that, but we wanted to bring this episode of Breaking the Case because of cases in the news. And joining us today, one of our very favorite guests, and he is...
Hi, it's Bobby Chacon, and I'm a retired 27-year FBI agent, currently working to bring analysis of law enforcement issues and true crime stories to the public by working with Jim Clementi and Francie Hakes at XG Productions.
I know that everyone's remote today, but we really wanted to bring our listeners some updates on a story we've covered before on this segment of Best Case, Worst Case that we call Breaking the Case. I know that our listeners here in the United States and around the world have heard a lot about the missing Idaho kids, Tylee and JJ, whose mother, Lori Vallow, and her husband, Chad Daybell, disappeared after being questioned about where the children were. They've not been seen since September. There have been lots of new developments on this that I wanted to talk to you, Bobby, and you, Jim, about. Let's start with you, Jim. This is such a convoluted case. You've got murders, you've got missing children, and you've got a mother not cooperating with police. Since we last did our most recent episode of Breaking the Case on this case, we've learned a lot. Jim, first, let's start with the newest developments. Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell were missing after the law enforcement authorities spoke to them about Lori's children, Tylee and JJ, 17 years old and 7 years old, who hadn't been seen since September. Authorities spoke to them in November, and Lori Vallow apparently lied to authorities and said the children were with a grandmother in another state. By the time authorities were able to debunk that, determine that it was a lie, Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell packed up their stuff from Idaho and disappeared. Well, Jim, they've now been found in Hawaii. One of the most interesting things that happened, Jim, is that a court in Idaho demanded 2 weeks ago that Lori Vallow produce those children upon pain of contempt. They set a deadline and she missed it. What are your thoughts so far, Jim?
Well, Francie, this is a very disturbing case just from the get-go. And they didn't just pack up their stuff and move to Hawaii. They ran. They probably took very little from the house and just took off. They disappeared. And here's the setting. At least 4 murders surround this whole scenario. Each of their exes and a brother of hers. I mean, there's people that are dead mysteriously all of a sudden who are then cremated and they move on. And there's speculation about whether or not they have big life insurance policies on their exes and what actually happened to them. I think they're investigating all those cases now. But this behavior on the part of Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell brings back to mind the behavior of Casey Anthony. The fact is that when somebody who has responsibility for a child or children leaves town, goes out and parties, does something outrageous for a period of time, a month or more, there's very little hope that that child is alive. Now, what I'm hoping is that either this religious organization, what some people are calling a cult, maybe they have the kids, which at least would increase the chances that they're still alive. Or, unfortunately, they're probably dead. The fact is that this happens all the time, where a child is seen as an impediment to a new relationship and or a new set of circumstances or freedom, and the child is then killed. Now, Tylee Ryan is 17 and JJ Vallow is 7. What could have happened, I hope this happened, is that being in this kind of really dangerous, risky situation, possibly Tylee was able to take JJ and run away. And they're just getting away from this cult, getting away from this parent who doesn't have any real regard for their safety, and this now new stepdad who has come into the situation, marrying their mother just 2 weeks after his wife mysteriously dies in the middle of the night. So this is a very serious situation, extremely dangerous for these kids.
Well, Jim, that's true. And Bobby, I know you've been following this case really closely. There are so many new developments. Let's kind of break them down and take them a little bit at a time and address what you, as a seasoned law enforcement investigator, would be thinking if you uncovered these facts. First, let's talk about Lori Vallow's most recent ex-husband who died. It was reported recently that there was an insurance policy. What can you tell us about that, Bobby, and what impact that might have had on the case?
Well, yeah, this is a very recent development. In fact, an even more recent development as of yesterday. I was actually speaking to the grandparents of JJ Vallow. They are not the grandparents of Tylee, but they had constant contact with JJ. As we know, JJ was a special needs little boy, and they had a tremendous amount of contact. They would almost FaceTime him or Skype him every day. And when they lost contact with him, it became disturbing. And you're right, when the grandparents revealed to me yesterday for the very first time that I had heard it, in the aftermath of her husband, Charles Vallow, being killed by her brother, by the way, in a claimed self-defense incident, Lori Vallow found out that she was no longer the beneficiary of Charles Vallow's $1 million life insurance policy. And she sent a very aggressive, nasty text to the grandmother, Charles Vallow's mother, JJ's grandmother, that said basically, and I'm trying to quote it, it said, "Five kids and no money," quote, and then in all caps, "and his sister gets everything." And she sent that in a text to Charles Vallow's mom, JJ's grandmother, her mother-in-law at the time, clearly indicating that she fully expected to be the beneficiary of the life insurance policy after her brother killed her husband. And she wasn't, and she was furious at that. We also found out that in between the time that she took the kids from Arizona, where she was living with Charles Vallow, to Idaho to be with Chad Debo, so JJ had a special needs canine that was provided to him by a local autism foundation, and it provided him with anxiety relief and companionship and things like that. Well, she put that dog up for sale for $2,500 shortly after her husband was killed and when she was planning on getting the kids to Idaho. JJ was very attached by his grandparents' account, very attached to that dog. That dog provided him with a lot of stability and a lot of companionship. The autism foundation who provided that dog got wind of the fact that she was trying to sell this dog, and they said, "Hey, we put a lot of money into training this dog, and we'll take the dog back and provide it to somebody else in need if you don't want the dog anymore." And they did just that. They took it. And she said, "Well, I'm moving to Idaho and the dog's too much for the move," and things like that. Clearly, to me, it indicates she was shedding things that if she intended to somehow not have these children very long in Idaho, she didn't want the encumbrances of something like a dog that she would have to deal with. She was trying to shed these ties and these things even prior to her move to Idaho, because she gets to Idaho and within weeks, the children are not seen again.
Well, and Jim, this smells like motive to me. It smells like you may have a couple of different motives. As an FBI agent looking at missing children, how significant is it to you that you had Lori Vallow shedding these things, as Bobby noted, and making moves that look to be someone who has no intention of continuing on with her children. You've got the insurance policy and the dog. What are your thoughts about that behaviorally and investigatively?
Well, behaviorally, it certainly indicates a increased risk for these children. When you have a parent who does not want to be a parent anymore, and many times when there is a new love interest in the life of the parent, that creates a situation where the new person does not want to come into a family that's ready-made, does not want to have additional children if they have their own, does not want to be encumbered. And this sort of life that they seem to be leading, staying in a resort down the street from the house where supposedly she lives, and then going off to a resort in Hawaii, neither of them working, apparently, perhaps living off these life insurance policy. This all indicates that this was a very complicated and pre-planned set of behaviors that mean that she did not want to be the mother of her children anymore. She was more interested in this guy. And by the way, based on Nancy Grace's reporting, this guy is supposed to be some kind of Svengali, that he's supposed to be this representative of God on earth, and that she may believe that she is actually commanded by God to do these things. All of these things increase the risk dramatically that these children are at the very least at high risk and possibly have been gotten rid of either by giving them away to people in this religious cult or their lives were terminated. And I believe investigatively what needs to be done is I believe they both need to be arrested. And I believe that everything that they have done over the last couple of months needs to be scrutinized. There is clearly a risk to these children. Everybody's talking about, they're asking, she should know where her kids are. What about she has the responsibility for their care, well-being, and safety? She is literally responsible for them. If she doesn't have them, she should be arrested and convicted of child neglect and endangerment. There is no reason for the mother of a seven-year-old child not to know where that child is at all times and not to be 100% concerned about that child's safety. The 17-year-old might be able to survive on her own, but the fact that the mother is not revealing to law enforcement where these kids are, the fact that she immediately after this inquiry takes off to hide in Hawaii in a resort, all these things just don't bode well for the lives of those children.
The other thing that's interesting, and we see it in a lot of these cases, is systemic failures to protect children in this case. During the contentious divorce that she was going through with Charles Vallow, he actually petitioned the court for an order of protection. I don't think it ever was granted. I think he withdrew it first. But he said he thought his life was in danger from his wife, from Lori Vallow. And he thought that she was having delusions, that she was the second coming, and that she was going to lead people to a new life. And he felt that his life was in danger. If his life was in danger, clearly the children's lives were in danger. And the court, and I realize the courts always err on the side of giving child custody to the biological parents. But in this particular case, if Lori Vallow had custody of those children, the court should have at least appointed a guardian ad litem or taken those children away from her during the proceedings and ordered a psychological evaluation of her. That wasn't done. The system did not protect the interests of those children in this particular case, in my opinion. Now, turning to the current situation and the legal situation in Idaho, where a judge basically said, you will produce evidence of where these children are. She's now in Hawaii, and she's technically in contempt of court. However, it's a misdemeanor in the state of Idaho, and they won't extradite based on a misdemeanor. So to follow up on what Jim was saying, really, I think it's forcing the hand of the prosecutor and whether they want to do this or not. They need to indict her on a felony child abandonment, which is, there is a level of felony, a level of behavior in Idaho that could qualify for a felony with child abandonment. That would allow them now then to extradite her back from Hawaii on the felony to Idaho. But right now, they don't have the legal process to get her back there because she's simply facing a misdemeanor contempt of court charge. They have to make a move because these two people have shown a, you know, a huge unwillingness to cooperate. And so it's really forcing the hands. And I think the next step, the ball is in the court of the prosecutors in Idaho to really force the issue, get her indicted on a felony so that she could be brought back in custody and face some pretty tough interrogations by the detectives and the prosecutors in Idaho.
Yeah. Why are they wasting time on a misdemeanor? I mean, these kids have been missing for months. They're not in school. Why isn't that a charge that's being brought against her? What is the problem with this system that allows weeks and months to go by when these children's lives are at risk?
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Y'all, isn't it time that your furniture matched your fearless style? Whether you're having date night at your place or hosting Galentine's Day, your furniture should definitely suit your needs, but should also feel uniquely you. And that's where Joybird comes in. Be sure to hit up Joybird's President's Day sale, where you can score some of those pieces you have your eye on at a price you love now through February the 17th. Joybird has rich buttery leathers, the softest velvets you've ever felt. You're going to be sure to find the fabric and the texture that's right for you with the free fabric swatch kits. You can see and touch all of Joybird's fabrics to find the perfect choice. So skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home. You can sit on it, sleep on it, and break it in. If you don't love your Joybird, just return it. Joybird stands by its quality and craftsmanship. If it's not everything you hoped and dreamed for, send it back. There are free returns within 2 weeks of delivery. You can create furniture that matches your own fearless style at joybird.com/bestcase. See how Joybird can help make your dream space a reality today at joybird.com/bestcase. Go to joybird.com/bestcase and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code BESTCASE. Well, you're totally right, Jim. And that is something that I wanted to say very strongly, is that it is time for the prosecutors to step up. When you have a combination, I mean, first, at the very beginning, when she lied to the police about where the children were, that should have brought a charge of lying to police and obstructing a lawful investigation into the welfare of the children. Then when she disappeared, there should have been charges. Then when they discovered that she expected to get an insurance policy and her husband is dead, there should have been charges. Where are the prosecutors bringing murder charges? You know, there is nothing that says you can't indict on a probable cause. And I believe there's enough probable cause to think that her husband was murdered. And because it was by her brother, she could have had a part in it. She could be charged with that murder. It's enough for probable cause. It's enough for grand jury to indict. If they have grand jury in Idaho, if they don't, the prosecutor should bring that charge. That's irrespective of the charges about the children being missing. You're absolutely right, Jim. The law requires parents to keep their children under the age of 16 or 17 in school. And because they're not, that's another investigative tool that they should be using. I mean, are our courts really that toothless that they have no recourse to yank her back from the Hawaiian paradise that she is rolling around in with her new husband, while the rest of us are far more concerned about her children and their welfare than she is? Where are the prosecutors?
Yeah, Francis, we both know, having been prosecutors in the past, that there is a tremendous amount of discretion in terms of what prosecutors can charge. And there are plenty of cases that would allow a prosecutor to bring charges in this set of circumstances. And if they need more probable cause to make those arrests, they should have an expert like you or I or Bobby come in, testify in the grand jury about what the chances are that these children, that their lives are at risk. It's not just that they're not at school, which is enough to throw the mother in jail, but they have been missing for months, months. Children don't just disappear like that unless there's something very wrong. And if they were okay and with a relative or with friends or being cared for properly by somebody in this religious organization, then why haven't they reached out to any of their family members or friends? Clearly, something is very wrong, gravely wrong with this situation. And the prosecutors and the police need to take it very seriously.
Well, they do, Jim. And one last development, Bobby, that we've heard about this week that is very disturbing. Police are working. We know they're working. They're executing search warrants. I hope they're executing warrants on telecom providers like cell phone providers, email providers, so that they can track the activity and the locations of not just Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell, but also of Tylee Ryan. We understand that she had a cell phone and it may have been found in her mother, Lori Vallow's possession in Hawaii. So that is something significant. But Bobby, one of the most disturbing things that happened this week was footage of a storage locker came out. Can you tell us what the investigative significance was of that?
Sure. When Lori Vallow relocated to Idaho sometime in September of 2019, she rented a 10 by 10 storage unit starting October 1st. She went there and she paid the down payment on October 1st. Between October 1st and October 6th, she's seen several times, I think with her brother, who would later die in December, moving things into that storage unit. And his pickup truck, I think, has been identified on some of the video. And then sometime later, she is seen with someone who looks like possibly Chad Daybell later on in October at the storage unit. And something on some of the video footage that I saw this week, you see the man who authorities have are claiming could be Chad Daybell carrying something out with two hands. It looks heavy. It's long. It's thin. To me, it looks like, in my honest opinion, it could be a body. And then he's carrying a smaller package out that also he's not struggling as much with, but seems to be somewhat heavy and awkward to carry. And he leaves with both of those. You just see on the video them leave through a door. The video is from the other end of the hallway, so it's not the best video. But it's fairly clear. It's online for people to see. And it, certainly to me, it looks like those could be, unfortunately, those could be the children. Now, when authorities did later on execute a search warrant on that unit, they found nothing but the kids' possessions in there. Bicycles belonging to the children, the two children, Tylee and JJ. JJ's book bag, his backpack that he used to take to school was in there. Basically, all the children's possessions were in that storage unit. And to me, it's quite possible that the children were in that unit at one time as well.
Yeah, Bobby, that's really, really terrible news, because even without seeing things that appear to be bodies being removed, one larger, one smaller, the fact that their possessions are being hidden in a storage unit tells me that just like in situations where there are false allegations of child abduction by a parent or a non-biological parent figure, when they start getting rid of the possessions of the child, either before or immediately after they report them missing, that is a very high-risk sign that the child is actually dead. So unfortunate, because obviously if her son was with other people, he would have taken his backpack. That's the most likely place where he would have put his possessions, the things that he wanted to carry with him. And the fact that that is in this storage unit and that they had plenty of time to prepare and get rid of those bodies, if that's what they were carrying out. I mean, it's really sad.
Well, it is, Jim. And I just want to say, I'm not suggesting that prosecutors should frivolously bring an indictment, but given all the evidence that we've talked about, the murders, the storage locker, the discarding of the children's property, the suspicious burdens that were being carried in and out of those storage facilities, the fact that Lori Vallow will not tell authorities where the children are, and no relative has come forward to say that they have seen or heard from the children since September. I truly believe there is enough probable cause to charge Lori Vallow with murder. Jim and Bobby, all three of us know that prosecutors are capable of bringing charges even when there's no body. They can bring no body homicide charges. These prosecutors could certainly do it. It is inexplicable to me that they are letting Lori Vallow roll around in the Hawaiian paradise with Chad Daybell while authorities are rushing around trying to find their children while the grandparents are in agony. We know that these charges could be brought and then Lori Vallow could be extradited from Hawaii back to Idaho. If I was the prosecutor in that jurisdiction, I would not hesitate. It has been months. It is time to hold her accountable for her children's welfare.
Yeah, and I would encourage the prosecutors to reach out to the FBI's Behavioral Analysis Unit because they have a database of all successful no-body homicide prosecutions across the country, and they're set up in the National Center for the Analysis of Violent Crime at the FBI Academy to research cases like this and to share the information with prosecutors in any jurisdiction who are faced with a situation like just like this, where there is a high degree of probability that a child or a person is dead, and yet they don't have a body. What they should do is call a grand jury, file charges against the mother and Daybell, and bring them into the jurisdiction, see if they'll cooperate at all, maybe make a deal with one against the other. That's unfortunately how these kinds of things go, and then pursue fully the prosecution of the mother for whatever happened to these children.
Yeah, Jim and Bobby, this is a very disturbing case. I fear for the lives of Tylee and JJ. I hope they are safely found and safely found soon. We want our listeners to know that we're going to continue to cover this on Breaking the Case, just like we're going to cover other matters on Breaking the Case. There's a new, sad, potentially terrible case out of South Carolina with a missing 6-year-old little girl that we are definitely keeping our eye on. And as soon as there's information that we can report, we will certainly gather the troops here and issue another episode of Breaking the Case. But Jim and Bobby, this one is disturbing.
Yeah, this one has so many tentacles. I mean, we haven't even touched on the fact that, yes, Charles Vallow, JJ's dad, was killed last year. But her previous husband before that, Tylee's dad, died in 2018 of a heart attack at a young age. So Lori Vallow's previous two husbands are both dead in the last 2 years. Chad Daybell's wife, of course, died in October of this year, 2 weeks later than he married Lori. She was buried, and at the request of Chad Daybell, no autopsy was performed on her. Now investigators have exhumed her body to see, because now there's so many suspicious circumstances. But certainly his wife died under mysterious circumstances. Her prior two husbands are now dead. Her brother, who killed one of her husbands, is dead, and police aren't releasing why and the circumstances surrounding his death. So we have a trail of bodies in this case and behavior that just thumbs its nose at the system. These two people, and I'm with Jim and with you, Francie, these two people have to be taken into custody. And even if you wouldn't normally use some of these prosecutorial devices in other cases, this is a special case and they need to be much more aggressive, because these two are walking around free, leaving a trail of bodies behind them. And now we have two minor children missing, and it just does not bode well.
Yeah, especially in this set of circumstances. If the kids are still alive, their lives are in grave danger because they are not being supervised by anybody in their family. Any of the natural caregivers do not have access to them. And that's critically important. Who does have them if they're still alive? And why are they keeping them hidden? Those are very nefarious circumstances. And I believe these children's lives are at risk, or they're already over.
You know, one of the more concerning things too is they now have a witness, I believe, that says when Chad Daybell was talking to this person, a friend of his, about Lori, he told the person that she didn't have any children. And that's a disturbing new development, that Chad Daybell was telling people about this new woman in his life and actually telling them that she had no children.
This is, as we all agree, a very disturbing case. And unfortunately, I'm sure we're going to be back talking more about this in the very near future. Hopefully, the prosecution will step up and do what they need to do to get custody of these incredibly evasive and criminal people, Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. However, I don't have a lot of high hopes for Tylee Ryan and JJ Vallow being found alive. It could happen. It would beat all the odds if it did. But we can hope and pray for that. But in the meantime, thank you for listening to Best Case, Worst Case.
Best Case, Worst Case is an XG production. Produced by Jim Clementi at Empire Studios LA. Engineered and edited by Mike Thal. Music composed and performed by Simba Tsumba. And hosted by Wondery.
You can listen to Best Case, Worst Case on your favorite listening app. We are on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you want to do something about child sexual abuse, Darkness Delight can help. Did you know that more than 90% of the time children are sexually abused by someone they know?
Jim, this isn't about stranger danger. It's about learning the true risks. Darkness to Light's training can help prevent, recognize, and react to child sexual abuse in your community.
When you make the decision to get involved, kids can be protected. It starts with you.
Visit www.d2l.org to take the training and learn more.
That's D2L.org.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.